This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and once a week we have root cellar Sue Balcom, joining us from her farm outside of Mandan to talk about food. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, I just love this 10 minutes of food talk, man.
And we have just a few more weeks left in the year to shove as many calories down our throats as possible, right? Let's talk cookies.
Well, you know, it's almost Christmas. And while we eat cookies year-round, we always eat special cookies at Christmas time. At least we did at my house. The Germans really, really, really spice it up for Christmas. I just made 50 pounds of flour into a traditional German Pfeffernuss cookie, and we have about 6 of them left.
Out of 50 pounds of flour? How many did you make?
Every single one. Well, many, many dozen. Let's say about 30 or 40 dozen cookies. And a lot of people don't make that recipe or don't make those recipes from those old cookbooks because, holy crap, one recipe uses 10 pounds of flour. So who can eat all those cookies? So I am blessed with friends that really like them. And so I make them and I age them for a couple weeks and then I bag them up and powder sugar them up and spread the love around. The look on these people's faces. Okay, so here's an example of how you have to grow up with this cookie. It's got ginger and cloves and pepper and you know, spices like that in it. And it's kind of mine are kind of cakey, so they're not those rock hard ones. But there was this older guy, his last name was Schmidt, I think, and he came into the market this weekend and bought a bag of cookies. And in a half an hour he came back and he's like, "Do you have any more of those cookies?" And I'm like, "You didn't eat 12 of them already, did you?" He goes, "No, but I have not had a cookie like that since I was a child." Aww. And I'm thinking that's what makes Christmas and cookies such a wonderful time of year, because it brings back memories of mom or grandma, I guess.
Oh, and honestly, just the smell of gingerbread.
Oh my gosh. And that's another one that's very spicy. You know, like during the course of the year, I make sugar cookies maybe, but I never make gingerbread until Christmas time. And then we have also a molasses cookie that we made. I made some of those just for myself. My mom used to call them crack top ginger cookies because the predominant spice, of course, is ginger. And they're rolled in sugar and they crack when you bake them, if you make them properly. Mm-hmm. And they have this rich molasses flavor.
Yeah. Oh, my mother-in-law made about 9-10 dozen of those for our wedding because we did fancy s'mores instead of a wedding cake. And that was really a good decision.
Good idea.
Yeah, fancy s'mores are where it's at. What I love about this cookie is right out of the oven, they're soft, they're chewy, and then if they make it to be a couple days old, they get a little crispy.
They're dunkers then. See, those old Germans, like I remember my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, they would pour their coffee into a saucer and slurp it down. And so they love to do things like that. impolite things at the table, you know, like slurp coffee and dunk cookies. And so those are great in milk and or coffee. Mm. But there's also, my grandmother used to make a honey cookie, which is another one of those ingredients that you'll kind of only use around Christmas time.
Honey?
Well, okay, I lied. Yeah. I used year round, but
mine's basically in an IV bag.
But we never saw it at our house. We never saw it at our house until around Christmas time. And every year it was like the same thing. We would go to Wishick and we would go first to my dad's parents' house for lunch. And then we'd go to my mom's parents' house for dinner. And the food was always basically the same and included things like pickles and dried fruits. And then these honey cookies that my grandmother made, and they were perfectly rounded, sweet, wonderful, chewy drops with this special white frosting and sprinkles on them. And I'm looking for her frosting recipe just to make sure that I got the right one, because they're such good cookies. But they use like 3 cups of honey and 3 cups of sugar. Mm-hmm. And so they're basically puffed up honey.
Yeah.
But here was the real challenge. I have these old cookbooks, and they're from like when I was in high school. All the Lutheran churches, and maybe the Catholic churches too, put out an annual cookbook. So I have this cookbook, and it's from probably 1972 and was like a buck and a quarter at the time. And in this are all of these recipes that are, you know, vague and large and, you know, why would you want to try this? But everybody talked about Aunt Sally cookies when I did interviews with the Germans from Russia. Now, I don't remember my mom ever making these cookies, but in our house, we now fondly call them spam can cookies because they're a rich molasses cookie that is cakey and cut out with a spam can. So they have a very familiar shape. And the first time I tried them, yes, someone had to eat that spam too, by the way. In order to get the can, you know. And of course, they don't make cans like they used to, so the edges are not quite as sharp as I would like them to be. But I made these cookies, and the cookies turned out just fine. But then there's this frosting recipe where you cook sugar and water until it's kind of a hardball stage, and then you pour it slowly into a couple beat up egg whites, and then you throw in some marshmallows. And oh my God, you guys, by the time I was done frosting those cookies, I had spider webs of frosting from my face to my elbows.
Yeah.
I was like, this can't be right. This just can't be right. So I decided I couldn't sell them to anyone. So I gave them away with coffee on Saturday when we had our little farmer's market. And I am not kidding you. They all went. Like every single one of those cookies was gone. People took them for their mothers. They took their masks off and they ate them. And they were just transported back home. It was lovely. Such a delightful thing to see. But I have to keep working on it, so...
Are these cake-like or more crispy?
Nope, they're cake-like cookies. They're fairly thick. The dough is fairly soft. I was a little worried about that. But I did make another batch for somebody special. And I got that frosting recipe down. And it is like that fluffy white frosting that you put on top of chocolate cake. So this one's a keeper.
Sounds like a reverse moon pie.
Oh, yes, except I found some molasses at Azure Standard that was organic and unsulfured and absolutely the most intense flavored molasses I've ever found. Delicious.
You know, I do appreciate that these cookies are good on their own because, like, decorating cookies... And I so appreciate people who are good at this. Every year at Prairie Public, Skip's delightful wife, Stacy, drops off cookies that she just poured her heart into decorating. And they actually look like what they're supposed to look like, unlike when I try to decorate a cookie and it sort of looks like Picasso and Dolly and Pollock, just, you know, whatever, all over these cookies.
Hey, I'm good with that.
Yeah, they taste fine, but they look terrible. But just for people want to do a little decorating, is there sort of a easy, even Ashley can't mess this up decorated cookie?
Hey, here is a tip I learned from Martha Stewart, because I, like you, have not got the patience to make beautiful cookies. So I always make naked cookies and bite the grandkids out and let them have at it. But if you wanted to, and I have this great recipe that I found for use a royal icing recipe. And if you can find meringue powder, it's safer to use than an egg white. You know, like you don't want to use a raw egg on your frosting in case someone's allergic to that or something, you know. So there's meringue powder. And if you can find that frosting recipe, you make it thin enough to kind of, you know, lay them on a rack, and you can kind of take a spoon and dribble across them, like streak them. That was one thing that Martha did for those of us who are handicapped when it comes to decorating. Or if you want to do a little more work, you could always use a thicker version of that frosting and pipe around the outside of a very simple shape, like a circle or a star. None of this fancy stuff like boots and, you know, Santa with a pack on his back. I use that very simple cookie cutter and then you can thin the rest of that frosting and you can do what they call flooding. That's probably the simplest. But really, what you want to do is just like dunk them in those colored sugar things before you bake them and call it a done deal. Or color your dough.
Or just color the dough.
You know, you can put food coloring in that dough.
Yeah, those decorative sugars are out in force, and they are not cheap.
Well, isn't that something? Everything, though, is nowadays when it comes to, you know, people are so into all this stuff. I think that's part of it. And I ordered some new cookie cutters because I like funky, you know, like there's a really funky star. It's not like your basic symmetrical star, kind of looks like it's shooting off into the sky or like a Dr. Seuss star. But I ordered these really good cookie cutters, and that's part of the process, is being able to roll a thick cookie dough and make a nice crisp cut. And then if they don't spread in the oven, that makes them easier to decorate because they have edges for you to work with. But the cookies that this company actually made and sold to people, I sent a picture to my daughter and I'm like, how do you do this? How is it even possible to decorate a cookie like this? So we just go for flavor at our house.
Well, and really just for the aroma of it all. Nothing smells as good as fresh cookies in the oven.
Right on.
We check in with Sue Balcom once a week. Thanks, Sue.
Thank you guys very much.